ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 I said the last class Vidyaranya Swami after having discussed the Mahavakya Vichara explaining how Bhagatyaga Lakshanaya using the method of Bhagatyaga Lakshana how to arrive at the reality this he discussed he presented he taught us he explained then now in this 43rd verse onwards begins what the mananam aspect of the teaching so shravanam has been done he is teaching what even the shravanam mananam nididhyasana methods is this teaching here so we understood how using panchakosha prakriya anvaya vyatireka method then bhagatyaga lakshana then how atat mahavakyam reveals the brahman reality or oneness of the reality etc we have seen and now the mananam is the next step involved in the teaching and what is mananam mananam is actually repeatedly reflecting upon what we have understood through shravanam and resolving all the possible doubts which rise in our own mind or which are caused by other people's questions and doubts which are other people also can ask questions express their doubts then they may need clarifications then our doubts may be again the doubts may rise our knowledge can be shaken therefore in order to resolve all possible doubts rising from anywhere whether it's in your own mind or from other people's minds or even the doubts or objections presented by other people of other systems of philosophy or other schools of thought to resolve all the doubts the mananam is done how mananam is to be done the Vidyaranya Swami presents here and first he picks up the doubt or the problem of nayayika philosopher nayayikaha logician objection is first presented here we saw that last class the when you say shastram reveals the oneness nature of the reality shastram reveals the reality brahman means the shastram actually shastram does not reveal by itself the shastra's words are handled by the teacher sampradaya with teacher the words now reveal the nature of the reality, which means the Shastram, the Shastra's words serve as instrument of knowledge. And the teacher plays the role of becomes the revealer. And through the using the instrument of knowledge, the teacher reveals the Brahman. It means Brahman becomes what? Object of revelation. The teacher is the subject of revelation. And the Shastram becomes the instrument of revelation. The revealer is the Guru. Shastram is the instrument of revealing. And Brahman is the revealed object. When you look at this, then Brahman, Nayayika takes this in such a way that revealer, subject, Shastram, the instrument, then Brahman is the revealed means. There is a Triputi Bhedaha, revealer, revealing, revealed, Bhedaha, difference. When this difference comes, Brahman as the one of the members of the Triputi Bheda, what now becomes Mithya. Why it is Mithya? Anything which is subject, is a division, is Mithya. Non-divisible, indivisible, undivided, non-dual is Satyam. Advaitam Satyam, Dvaitam Mithya. This is the fact we have just been already understood. Our Vedanta reveals this, right? Dvaitam is Mithya, which means the duality, any division is what? Mithya. There is no absolute division. Division is there or not? Because divisions are very much there. Differences are very much there. We are experiencing differences. When you are experiencing, when you get up, once you wake up from sleep, when the essence comes and you see yourself as an experiencer, you see the world as an experienced, and you use the instruments of experience you have, you're using also, employing also. Therefore, there's always knower, known, knowledge, Triput Bheda. There is the innumerable countless differences we have. The differences are there. Divisions are there. Experience means experiencer, experienced division is involved. There cannot be such a thing called experience without the experiencer, experienced division. This division is what we say, duality. So duality implies also what? Plurality or multiplicity. So this Advaitam alone is Satyam, absolutely real. Non-duality is absolutely real. And duality is Mithya. Because duality is not Tucham. You are experiencing the duality, experiencing the plurality. Therefore, duality, Dvaitam, is not Tucham. Dvaitam is not unreal. Dvaitam is not absolutely real also. But Dvaitam is empirically real, relatively real, objectively real. Dvaitam is objectively real, empirically real, relatively real. So, Vyavaharikataya Dvaitam Satyam. Dvaitam is Satyam. How? Vyavaharikataya, relatively. But absolutely, Advaitam is Satyam. Advaitam is absolutely, paramarthikataya, absolutely, Advaitam is Satyam. Dvaitam is Vyavaharikataya Satyam, empirically, relatively real. So empirically real, relatively real means it's only Mithya, and absolutely real and only Satyam. And what we need for moksha is Advaitam, Satyam alone. The discovery of Satyam is required for moksha. Discovery of Mithya will not serve the purpose of discovering moksha. In Dvaitam, there is bondage. In Advaitam, there is mokshaha. Satyam is the need for moksha, not mithya. Is mithya cannot help you discover moksha. Therefore, what he wants to say here is, this division, differences are there, but differences are not absolutely real. But here he takes it up. What now? This revealer, revealed, now instrument of revealing, this is that Veda is there. So Brahman being an object of revelation, being one of the members of the Triputi, cannot be, what now? It becomes, the Dvaitam comes, subject to division. Therefore, division means this is a mithya. Dvaitam is subject to division means this is a mithya. If mithya, Brahman alone has to be discovered through this object of revelation, what is discovered, what is arrived at, what is revealed is mithya, Brahma, then it does not serve the purpose of what? Attainment of moksha. If Brahman is Advaitam, then it cannot be revealed. So non-dual reality cannot be the object of revelation, cannot be revealed. Why? Because non-dual means divisionless. The divisionless non-dual reality cannot become the object of revelation. Non-Advaitam Brahma cannot be revealed. And if Brahman is revealed, it must be Dvaitam. It must be what now? Member of the division. It must be, it's subject to division. Therefore, Dvaitam is involved means that it cannot be Satyam. Revealed happens to be Dvaitam. It cannot be Satyam. The non-dual happens to be non-revealable. Basically, non-revealable. It cannot be revealed. Therefore, either Mahavakyam cannot reveal the non-dual reality. If the Mahavakyam reveals the reality, it must be the reality of the duality only. It cannot be reality, only mithya. So it does not give any help you attain moksha. Therefore, it does not serve the purpose of attainment of moksha. Therefore, this Mahavakya Vichara or Shastra study does not make any sense. Whole Shastra study is for arriving at the non-dual reality, thereby discover moksha. The reality. Satya Darshanartham Eva Shastra Patanam. Satya Jnanartham. Just to discover how reality is absolutely real. What is absolutely real? And discovering the absolutely real thing alone, there is moksha. But you cannot discover Satyam. But studying the Shastram, analyzing Mahavakyam, you can only arrive at the Mithya Brahma means it is of no use. Therefore, Shastra Adhyayanam itself does not make any sense. This is his objection. And then I told, this also we discussed last class. What was the answer? I told you, in the logicians always can have what? When the logicians present their doubts or objections, there is two ways of presenting the answer. One answer is what now? By asking the counter question without giving an appropriate answer for the question, by asking a counter question, making the questioner see the problems in his own view and driving him away, thereby escaping from answering the question, is one way of refuting other person. Another way is what? By giving an appropriate answer. Appropriate answer, thereby refuting other person's objection. The two ways of answering. And here Vidyaranya Swami, as a Vedanti, gives both the answers. He gives first the, and what is the first answer he gives? The first answer he gives is in the form of presenting the counter question, thereby making the logician, making the objectioner see the fallacy in his own argument, making the person see the fallacy, see the fault in his own argument. Okay, so what he says, when he asks, Brahman is the revealed, when the Nayayika says, Brahman is the object of revelation, Brahman is the revealed. Therefore, Brahman Vapaknahu cannot be Advaitam, non-dual. It becomes a member of the Triputi, therefore it is subject to duality, therefore it is Nitya. Therefore, the discovering such Brahman through the analysis of Mahavakyam, through the study of the Shastram, is of no use. That's his argument. Therefore, now, Vidyaranya Swami, the Vedanti, asks this question. When you say Brahman is the object, okay, Brahman is the object of revelation, Brahman is the revealed, he asks, what do you mean? Do you mean Brahman division? Do you mean the division is an attribute of Brahman? This is the first question he asks. Who is asking? Be very clear. Vedanti Vidyaranya Swami asks the Nayayikaha. Okay, here not Vidyaranya Swami. You can say Vedanti asks this question. What is the question? Who is asked now? The Nayayika is asked by Vedanti. When you say Dvaitam, Brahman comes under the category of Dvaitam. Dvaitam, no. It means division. Is it Brahman has division? Brahman has division. Why division? Because Brahman is different from the revealer and the instrument of revealed. Brahman being the object of revelation, Brahman is different from the instrument of revelation and the subject of revelation. Therefore, Brahman has division. This is his argument. Now he is asking, Vedanta is asking, do you mean division is an attribute? Is division an attribute on the part of Brahman? The question, is division vikalpaha brahmanaha gunahava? Is this vikalpa means division. Division an attribute of Brahman? What will he say, the Nayayika? Yes. Brahman has vikalpa as an attribute. Brahman has division as an attribute. Why? Brahman is divisible. Why? Brahman is an object of revelation. Brahman is a member of the Triputi. Therefore, Brahman is what now? Brahman has division as its attribute. Okay. Now the question is, what the question now? Vedanti presents this question now. It's a counter question. Instead of giving the appropriate answer, the first answer he gives is what? He says, first of all, what do you mean by saying attribute? What is an attribute? Is there something called attribute at all, absolutely? Is there something called attribute, gunaha? Gunaha is what? Gunaha is attribute. Is something called gunaha, attribute, absolutely? Division, bedaha is the gunaha. Division is the gunaha. Difference is the gunaha, you say. That's fine. But is there something called gunaha attribute at all. Is it possible for you to establish logically what an attribute is? Vedanta is very clear. He knows what. There is no such a thing called absolute attribute. Absolute attribute cannot be logically established. Logically cannot be established. Therefore, he is asking this question, can you establish logically? Is it possible for you to establish this something called attribute logically? If you cannot prove what is an attribute logically, then how can you talk about the attribute at all? Is it clear? Understanding or not? Please nod your heads. Yeah. Therefore, that's the question. And having said that, Vidyaranya Swami himself, as a Vedanti, gives him three points to help him, support him, to see options he presents. Where can attribute exist? If at all you say attribute is there, where does the attribute exist? The gunam solrame, we talk about the attribute all the time. Where does the attribute exist? It must exist. There must be what the attribute must exist. Rest on attributeless thing, or it must exist on an attributed thing. Isn't it? An attribute is different on attributed thing. So here he explains then, definitely, if at all you say attribute rests on an attributeless thing, then it will be what now? There'll be doshaha. It will be contradiction. How can an attribute exist in or on or rest on an attributeless thing? An attributeless thing cannot have an attribute. If we say therefore that is called what now? If we say an attribute is on the attributeless, this will result, this is a doshaha. Called what now? Anavastha doshaha. It's a contradiction also. You can say vyahatihi. Okay. Suppose if we say the attribute is on an attribute rests on something with an attribute also, there is this, but now then another defect will be there. What's the defect? It's called Atmashraya Doshaha. Atmashraya Dosha means an attribute is sitting on itself. I told you last class also. It's like you cannot sit on your own lap. If you have to sit somewhere, you must sit on another chair which is different from you, distinct from you. You can go and sit on something, somebody else's lap you can sit, but you cannot sit on your own lap. You can sit on a chair, a table or a mat somewhere, but not on your own lap. The same way here, one attribute cannot rest on something with an attribute. Attribute cannot rest on something with an attribute. Attribute cannot rest on the attributeless also. If at all we say an attribute can rest on something with the second attribute also, that second attribute has to be somewhere. Therefore, there will be what now? Anyonya Ashraya Dosha. Anyway, there will be defects. Which means, he is going to point out, actually, we are going to see one by one. totally, there are, you can say five, you can give five different names for the defects. Five different names for the defects. What are the defects? Vyahatihi. You can write down if you want. Vyahatihi is the name of one defect. In Sanskrit, one defect, Vyahatihi means contradiction. The error of contradiction. Okay. See, you say something and what to say, we want to contradict with what you explain. Therefore, Vyahatihi is an error of contradiction, number one. Then, there's an error of Atmashrayaha, Atmashraya Doshaha. Second is, understand all the doshas now, then explain to you later on. Atmashraya Doshaha means the defect or error of self-dependence. Sitting on one's own lap. If you say somebody is sitting on one's own lap, that's called what? It's a wrong. Why it's wrong? That sentence, he is sitting on his own lap means, that sentence is what? Involves Atmashraya Doshaha. The defect or error of self-dependence. Okay? Okay. Next one. Third defect is what? Anyonya Ashraya Doshaha. Anyonya Ashraya Doshaha means the error or the defect of mutual dependence. I'll give the example. Okay. Anyonya Ashraya Doshaha means the error or the defect of mutual dependence. See, if two people are dependent on each other, one must be, only one person must be dependent on another person. One person must be rich, the other person must be poor. The poor can depend upon the rich, and the rich can depend upon the poor for something else. But both are dependent on, suppose both are beggars. One beggar is dependent on the other beggar for his help. Other beggar is telling, oh, I take help from the other beggar means. Both people who are mutually beggars cannot help mutually. One is rich, one is a beggar, help is possible. If both are beggars, both beggars help each other means what? In terms of money. There is what? This is a problem. Both of them cannot help each other. Both of them are in a position of not being able to help each other. But we say what? Both beggars help each other in terms of giving money, not any other respect. Both, you know, one beggar gives money to the other beggar gives money to the other beggar means it is something impossible. In terms of giving money. Therefore, it's called what now? When you say both beggars help each other, it's called Anyonya Ashraya Doshaha. The error or defect of mutual dependence. Anyonya Ashraya Doshaha. All defects. So, Vyahatihi contradiction. Atmashraya Doshaha. Error or the defect of self-dependence. Example is sitting on one's own lap. Anyonya Ashraya Dosha means what? Two beggars giving money to each other. It's called what? The error or the defect of mutual dependence. Then Anavastha Doshaha. Anavastha Dosha means impossibility. The error of impossibility. Anavastha. Okay, such a situation doesn't occur at all. Okay, then chakrakam. Chakrakam means the defect of infinite regression. The defect of infinite regression. What does it mean? It said the defect of infinite regression means one problem will lead to the other. There'll be if you solve one problem, other problem will come. Then if you solve other problem, the new problem will come. See, having endless problems is called what? Endless defects. To sort out one defect, if I give an answer, that will give another defect. It's called what now? Continuously endless problems. If the problems continue to be endless problems, endless doshas, defects, it's called what now? The problem of infinite regression is the another defect. It's called chakrakam. Like this, these five defects will be there. We'll see everyone separately. These five defects will be there if we say the attribute rests on an attributeless, or if we say the attribute rests on something with an attribute. Therefore, attribute cannot exist on the attributeless. Attribute cannot be there on the part of something with attributes also. Which means we cannot logically establish the existence of something called attribute. Therefore, there is no such a thing called absolute attribute. You cannot even logically establish the existence of attribute. Then how can you say that the division is an attribute of Brahman? Is it clear? Hope you are following me. Therefore, how can you say division as an attribute of Brahman? Who, according to whom division is an attribute of Brahman? According to Nayayika, division is an attribute of Brahman. Therefore, without giving an answer, how Brahman is the revealed, she talks about what now? First of all, there is no such a thing called attribute which can be established, used logically. So, how can you talk about the attribute of division? There's no division as an attribute. This is his first thing. So when he says this, what does the Nayayika do? Nayayika becomes quiet and he becomes chased away. Nayayika is temporarily chased away. Even though Nayayika has gone, but still, the Vedanta student who has been listening to the teacher must have the doubt. It's very good, fantastic. By putting a counter question, by asking him to establish logically the attribute, you find out all the five doshas, five defects. Atma ashraya dosha, anyonya ashraya dosha, anavastha dosha, chakraka dosha, vyahati dosha. You point out all these defects. Don't worry, I'm going to explain every dosha, okay, again. By pointing out these doshas, you have chased the Nayayika away, that is fantastic, fine. But still now I want to know, I also have the doubt. Why? This is a Vedanta student. And Vedanta student is asking the Vedanta teacher. Because whose jnanam is still doubtful jnanam. He has jnanam as a student. But jnanam is what? Doubtful jnanam, doubtful knowledge. So when in front of the student, Nayayika comes and asks this question, therefore he is a little confused. Even though he saw his teacher's amazing brilliance and how he really, by putting the counter question, he sent him back. But still he has a doubt. Vedanta student has a doubt. What is the doubt? Yes. Teacher, one who unfolds the words of the Shastram, is the revealer. Shastra's words are instruments of knowledge. And Brahman is revealed object of revelation. That's true. So he wants to know, you know, that. So now the teacher thought, he wanted to make it very clear. What he does, he goes back. How not only this one particular thing called attribute cannot be established logically. All the basic principles of the Nyaya philosophy, all the basic principles of Nyaya philosophy have lots of logical problems. When the logician presents his argument in the beginning, always relatively, they may sound very brilliant, they may sound very intelligent, and they may sound nice, but superficially they will sound very brilliant. But if we really probe deeply into the, we analyze deeply, we can see the logicians, all the principles of logicians, the logician, all the principles of a Nyayika, the Nyaya philosophy have the problems, which means no principle of a logician, no principle of the Nyaya philosophy can be logically established. The Nyaya philosopher's principles, the basic principles, cannot be established logically. Is it clear now? It's a big loophole. So he wants to show here who the teacher, Vedanta teacher, wants to show, prove here. What he wants to say, not just only particular aspect, the attribute, gunaha alone. In fact, no gunaha, no attribute can be established logically. In fact, all the principles of Nyaya philosophy have no really proper base. They cannot be established logically. The Nyaya philosophy itself has a problem. So, logically non-establishable principles, holding on to the principles, the basic principles, which are non-establishable, logically non-establishable principles. When he comes to present his argument also what now definitely has no meaning. So meaningless. He wants to prove this first. So he is going to introduce now. Then I'll tell you, go to the verse and show you. Let me tell you before I go to the verses, I'll explain to you, then I'll take you to the verses. Then it'll be easy to understand. Suppose it's exact, even in our, if you can understand Nyaya philosophy, you can also understand today's physics also. Even in modern physics or modern science, their efforts, when they try to establish anything using the reasoning, when they try to bring to light logically, that also will have what now? Finally, it cannot be established. There will be the problem of infinite regression. Why? Because the logic itself cannot be established logically. Logic cannot be established logically. Okay. Here, in the Nyaya Shastram or Nyaya philosophy, the entire universe, the entire cosmos is divided into, understand basic things, okay? It divided into seven substances, seven padarthas. Padarthaha. the Nyaya, in Nyaya philosophy, the entire cosmos, entire universe divided into 7 Padarthas. If you ask Nayayika, what is this universe? This universe is a constitution of, constituted of 7 Padarthas. Sapta Padartha Samuha Prapanchaha. He will say that. What is this universe? This universe is nothing but 7 Padarthas put together. He will say that. Padarthaha literally means meaning of the word. But here Padarthaha does not mean the meaning of the word. Sorpurul. No. Here the word Padarthaha does not mean our crunchy, munchy snack also. Okay? Tea time Padartham. No. It is not like our samosa Padartha or festival Padartha. It's not a palaharam. Okay? It's not a Padartha. In the Tamil Nadu, it also means what? It also means some snack, isn't it? Food. No. The Padarthaha does not mean snack or food. Padartha does not mean the meaning of the word. Padarthaha is the Nyaya philosopher's jargon. Okay? The jargon used in Nyaya philosophy. So they, according to them, the whole world can be divided into 7 Padarthas. You have learnt 5 defects earlier. Now you're understanding 7 Padarthas. What are the 7 Padarthas? So Nyaya Vaiseshika or Nayayika, you can say 7 Padarthas are, number 1, Gunaha. Gunaha. Gunaha means what? An attribute. Or you can say property. Gunaha means attribute or property. Like heat is the intrinsic property of the fire, isn't it? Property, gunaha means attribute or property. What the property, you can say what is the property, what is the gunaha? I'll give you the example. The form. Now I say an elephant is big, means what? It's a form. So form or color or smell, taste, touch, etc., etc. Okay? Are all what? Gunas. If you say the flower is soft, the flower is fragrant, the flower is colorful, all what? Attributes of the flower. How is this honey? Honey is sweet. Attribute of the honey. Sugar is sweet. Attribute of the sugar. Neem is bitter. Attribute of the neem. Animal is big. The big in form. Attribute of the animal. Smells nice, good. A jasmine is fragrant. Fragrance is the attribute of the flower. Like that, these are all what are attributes. Gunaha. So you can say gunaha is first thing. First padarthaha. First Nyaya philosopher's first padarthaha is gunaha. Which means attribute or property. Like fire is hot. Heat is what? Can say attribute or property. Okay, next is, second one is Kriya. Kriya or Karma. Kriya or Karma means what? Function. Function, action. Mainly function. The third Padartha, I'm using the word Padartha, sometimes better to use Sanskrit word itself. So, Nyaya philosophers, Padarthas. Okay. third padartha jatihi. So gunaha, kriya or karma, then jatihi. Jatihi, in our literal language we say caste, no, we say, but here jatihi means a general characteristic feature or generalized characteristic feature. Characteristic, generalized characteristic is called what? Jatihi. I'll give the example. If we go to the zoo, okay, we don't go, we take the children to the zoo. What we see so many varieties of animals there. Every animal is different from every other animal. Lion is different from tiger, tiger is different from boar, every animal is different from every other animal. In size, in form, in looks, in complexion, every different. But even though they're all different, with all the mutual differences also, they all come under one category called generalized characteristic, which is what now? Animal. They all belong to one animal family. In spite of the differences, they all come under one category called animal. Animals. Similarly, we are all here and we have, there's differences in terms of cultural difference, nationality difference, complexion difference, gender difference, age difference, appearance difference, weight difference, height difference, so many differences all the human beings have. In spite of all the differences, all the people, we can say what? All of us come under one category, one generalized characteristic feature we all have. What is that? All of us come under the category of human beings. Human beings. It's called, remember, this generalized characteristic feature or character is called what? Jatihi. Okay, you learned gunaha, kriya, jatihi. Okay, fourth one. Dravyam, chaturtha padartha. The fourth padartha. Please understand, now we are not studying Vedanta. Now we are understanding briefly in a nutshell, little of, very, very little of Nyaya philosophy. Isn't it? We are not understanding the whole philosophy. Just to understand this much. Dravyam means what? Dravyam, substance. Dravyam means substance. Then, sambandha, fifth padartha, sambandha. What is dravyam, substance? What is substance here for him? Substance is matter. Yeah, that's the biggest problem. Okay, now you can understand why the problem. Dravyam means substance. For him, the substance is the matter. Okay. Then sambandha. Sambandha means relationship or connection. Connection between what? Relationship or connection between substance and other aspects. Connection or relationship between the substance and gunaha, substance and action, substance and jati, substance and dravyam. So the sambandha means connection, relationship between substance and other aspects, other padarthas. The relationship between the substance, the padartha called substance, and rest of the padarthas. The relationship between the padartha called substance and other padarthas is called what? One padartha called sambandha. Is it clear? Because you can say the substance relation. You can say the substance and gunaha. Relationship between substance and the dravyam and gunaha, dravyam and kriya, dravyam and jati, dravyam. One more I tell you. It's called sambandha. Okay. One more is viseshaha. Sixth one is what? Viseshaha. Okay. Viseshaha. You know what now? Specific particulars or particularity. Particularity is called what? Viseshaha. Then the seventh padartha, saptamaha padartha is abhavaha, absence. Abhavaha. Now these are the sapta padarthaha. Nyaya vaiseshikasya. I can say now, nyaya shastrasya. Nyaya philosophers,
seventh one.
Abhavaha. Seventh is abhavaha. Abhavaha means absence. Or non-existence, you can say. Absence. So I'll repeat again. Gunaha, kriya, jatihi, dravyam, sambandaha, viseshaha, abhavaha. So these seven padarthas are presented in a verse form. In one good thing about in Shastra, in Sanskrit literature, all the Shastras are presented in the form of verses. So what happens? It is easy to memorize. Isn't it? For the purpose of memorizing easily, everything is given in the form of a verse. If what I can give you the verse also. Dravyam. It's a verse. The verse discussing seven padarthas. Dravyam, gunas, dravyam, gunas, tatha, karma. Dravyam, gunas, tatha, karma. Samanyam, samanyam. Sa viseshakam. Samanyam. Sa viseshakam. I repeated. Dravyam gunastatha karma. Samanyam sa viseshakam. It is not very important for you to know this verse. I'm just simply telling you. Okay. You don't want, don't it, write it. So please go, don't go away. Please stay back. Okay. Samavayas tatha bhavaha. Samavayas tatha bhavaha. Samavayas tatha bhavaha. Okay. Padarthaha. Sapta kirtitaha. Padarthaha. Sapta kirtitaha. This verse is not from Panchadashi. This is a different verse enumerating seven padarthas of the Nyaya system of philosophy. I'll repeat it. Dravyam, dravyam gunastatha karma samanyam savisheshakam samavayastatha bhavaha padartha sapta kirtitaha. Sapta padarthaha kirtitaha. Okay, the seven padarthas have been enumerated, you know, joyously. What are they? Gunaha. The words are different, that's all. Gunaha, kriya. Kriya is used for karma. Gunaha, kriya, jatihi, dravyam, sambandaha, viseshaha, abhavaha. There are seven. Okay. Now, why does the author, but here, in this Panchadashi, in one verse, five of these padarthas are enumerated. two are left. Five are he presented. What are the five presented here? Gunaha, Kriya, Jatihi, Dravyam, Sambandaha. These five are mentioned in the verse, Panchadashi verse. Two are left. He mentioned the five of them. See, in one of the verses, we are going to see later on, our Vidyaranya Swami enumerates five of the seven Padarthas in one verse. And he is going to say what? A not only Gunaha cannot be established logically, all these five, all the seven Padarthas also cannot be logically established. He doesn't need to tell everything, okay? It is a lesson for us. We don't need to, if you understand how one thing cannot be established logically, in the same way you have to try everything. So not only the gunaha, not only the attribute, the padartha called attribute, padartha called gunaha cannot be established. None of the seven padarthas can be established logically. You cannot establish, suppose you ask what is an action, function. A function, if you ask what is a function, the function cannot be established logically. You cannot establish an action logically. You cannot establish a substance. According to him, substance is what? Matter. Matter cannot be established logically. Okay, Vishesha, particularity also cannot be established logically. Absence, non-existence cannot be established logically. There is no such a thing called non-existence at all. Know that? It cannot be established logically. See, logical established, the whole science, the strength of the science is what? Based on its logical establishment. And in fact, nothing can be established logically. If something can be established logically, it is what? It has the greatest defect of not being establishable logically. So not only the attribute. See, before, without going to the textbook, I am making it very clear. Now, if you go to text, it should be very clear before you go there. So what he wants to say here, by enumerating the five, none of the padarthas which form the basic principles of the Nyaya philosophy can be established logically. So logic cannot be established logically. No logic can be established. Therefore, when there is a problem with the basic principles and you holding on to the basic principles, then you want to now come and point out the defect in my teaching. Vedanta's teaching. Therefore, we don't need to answer his question. Your question itself has no meaning. The question itself is, you know, division is an attribute of Brahman. That is his stand. Why do you mean a basic attribute of Brahman? Because division is, Brahman is one of the, according to him, Brahman is one of the members of the Triputi. Because Brahman is the revealed object of revelation. 3 points. Brahman is the object of revelation. Therefore, Brahman is one of the members of the Triputi. Revealer, revealing, revealed. And therefore what? It is Dvaitam. There is a division. Brahman has division. Division is Brahman's attribute. Therefore, what now we say? It is Mithya. Therefore, knowing the Mithya Brahman, Sagunam Brahma. Brahman is what? Sagunam. Sagunam, a Brahman has attribute. If Brahman has an attribute, knowing the attribute, anything attribute with the attribute of mithya doesn't serve the purpose. And his argument, now he says what? You cannot even come and tell me that Brahman has an attribute. What attribute? Brahman has division as an attribute. Therefore, what? It is mithya. Therefore, knowing that Sagunam Brahma is of no use, you cannot come and tell me why, because there is not, you cannot even establish a thing called attribute, first of all, logically. And not only attribute, all your padarthas, you cannot establish action, the function, action or function, the substance, no particularity, nothing can you establish logically. Why all the seven padarthas, if he tries to analyze, if you try to analyze, if you understand very carefully, if we really pay attention and analyze, take each padartha, okay, and analyze, what will happen? My God, each padartha will have these problems, five defects. What are the five defects? I told you already. The defect of contradiction, the defect of self-dependence, the defect of mutual dependence, the defect of impossibility, the defect of endless regression. Isn't it? All these five defects will be there. Each padartha, if you try to analyze, each padartha will have all the five defects. Therefore, what? Defect means what? No padartha can be logically established. Therefore, using those padarthas, holding on to those padarthas as the basic principles, and if a person comes and presents his argument saying it is not right, then we don't need to answer such a question. Okay? This is the first answer. He has showed his own defect in his argument. Then now he has to give the right answer. What is the right answer? Okay. The right answer is, appropriate answer he has to give. One more thing we have to see. The Dravyam. What is the difference between a Vedanti? According to the Nayayika, ultimate substance is matter. For a Nyaya philosopher, he has dug and dug and dug. Finally, he stopped with the matter. He could not dig more. What for him? Ultimate substance is the matter. Whereas, according to Vedanta, ultimate substance is not the matter. Ultimate substance is consciousness. We stop, Vedantin stops digging from where the science stops digging. Isn't it? So Vedanta starts penetrating from where exactly the modern science stops digging, stops penetration. Where Vedanta cannot penetrate anymore, where the physics, modern science, or even other philosophers, where they cannot, Nyaya philosopher stops penetrating. So, where exactly the modern science stops being incapable of penetrating anymore, where exactly the Nyaya philosophy or any other philosophy stops being incapable of penetrating, digging anymore, there the Vedanta starts its penetration. Therefore, Vedanta can go much further, deeper, and Vedanta also has to stop at consciousness. Therefore, according to Vedanta, consciousness is the absolute substance. For Nyaya philosopher, matter is the absolute substance. And for him, all these padarthas rest on the matter for him. The six padarthas rest on one substance called matter for him. According to us, not all the six padarthas which rest on matter, including the matter, seemingly rests on consciousness. Where does the matter rest? In consciousness. Where do all the padarthas rest? In consciousness. For him, all the padarthas rest in matter. For a Vedantin, all the padarthas rest in consciousness. Two differences. And according to him, substances are many. Matter is in many forms. No? Substances are many. Vanakkam, doctor, welcome back. Okay, substances are many, whereas according to Vedanti, substance is one, consciousness. This difference between Nyaya philosopher and the Vedanti. This is all for information, for us to understand. So you understand Nyaya philosophy, refuting a Nyaya philosopher is simultaneously as good as refuting a modern scientist also. Now the question comes, therefore what? All these things help you understand the Nyaya philosopher. Very question is what? Improper. Okay. But still now the Vedanta students ask the question. Now Vedantas, the Nyayikas, the Nyaya philosopher's mouth can be shut. But still, the Vedanta student who is sitting with a doubtful knowledge, he will ask, yes, Brahman is object of revelation, but is there division or not? Is division the Brahman's attribute or not? The doubt may come for this person, isn't it? Therefore, he has to give an answer. The thing is, Brahman is sagunam or nirgunam? Does Brahman have an attribute of sagunam or nirgunam? Brahman is sagunam, Brahman is nirgunam also. But two different standpoints. Okay, not only that, now suppose now if Brahman is nirgunam, now philosopher, the Nyaya philosopher accepts, okay, let me accept Brahman is not sagunam, Brahman has no attribute. But if you say Brahman is nirgunam, isn't that nirgunatvam an attribute? Attributelessness is an attribute of Brahman. If you say Brahman has no attribute, Brahman is nirgunam, that's fine. Brahman is nirgunam. Brahman is not sagunam. If you say sagunam Brahma, it becomes what? It has a division. And division means it becomes the dvaitam comes. Then it's a mithya. Therefore, Brahman is advaitam, non-dual. Because it has no guna, it is nirgunam. If you say Brahman is nirgunam, attributeless, then can we say attributelessness is the attribute of Brahman. This question comes. Then he has to say beautifully, attributelessness is not an attribute of Brahman. Brahman is of the nature of attributelessness. If, how can two things, how can you say sagunam as well as nirgunam? Isn't it? So here we say, if the two have attributes which are opposed to each other, no, they cannot coexist. Like light and darkness. Because they are opposed to each other. So here he says, if two dharmas, different orders of reality, then they can coexist. If two factors are of the same order of reality, two different orders of reality can coexist. They have the same order of reality, then they cannot coexist. Here, all the attributes are of any attribute. There are so many attributes, isn't it? All the attributes are of inferior order of reality. And Brahman is of the superior order of reality. Okay, superior order of reality and inferior order of reality can coexist. But two factors enjoying superior order of reality cannot coexist. What about the attributes? Like when you say form and name wave, is what? The form, name, wave is of inferior order of reality. It is existent. We see the form wave. We hear the word wave. But we experience it. Therefore, it is not non-existent. It is there. It is inferior order of reality. Why? It has no independent existence. Whereas water is of the higher order of reality because it has independent existence. So form and name wave and the water can coexist. Don't worry, I'll explain this next class, okay? I have to take this next topic separately and teach you. Today my aim was to teach you Sapta Padarthas. And today my aim was to tell you all the Padarthas of logician cannot be established logically. In fact, the science of logic cannot be established logically. Okay. That's the main teaching I want to tell you today. So I can proceed next class. Do it next class also. But I want to tell you this thing. So, attributes are of the inferior order of reality. Brahman is of the superior order of reality. Therefore, they can coexist. Like what is the example given here in the Shastram? Look at it. I'll give the example. It will always understand the example. It will be easy to understand the teaching. I have not yet entered into the teaching. Only preparing you for understanding the verses which are following. See, when you see the mirage water, when you see the mirage water, how is the sand there? The sand is wet or dry? You are seeing the sand and you are seeing also what? Mirage water. And mirage water is there, sand is there. The sand is dry or wet. You go near, oh, there's no mirage water at all. There's no water, it's only dry sand. But the dryness of the sand does not come after the mirage water is dissolved. After the sublation of the negation of the mirage water, the sand does not become dry. The sand was dry even when the mirage water was perceived. Sand is dry even when you are perceiving mirage water. And even after the mirage water is negated as mithya, still the sand is dry. Mirage water and sand existed together. Another example also I can give. You go to your bedroom in the night time. In London, 4 o'clock onwards, it gets dark. Okay, now it's getting brighter. Okay, very dark. And then, even I had to cover my eyes with something because I don't want any light at all to sleep. It's utter darkness is there in the room. But after you fall asleep, you dream. And in dream, you are in India, where the bright light. In sleeping in dark room, fast asleep in dark room, in between disturbed by your dream, you are dreaming, and where you are driving your car in a bright sunny day. In your dream, you are driving your car on a bright sunny day, the bright light with a scorching heat. And where does that bright sunny day exist? Where is the hot, bright day? Where is the light? And where is the darkness? Darkness of the room and the bright light coexist. Is it true or not? You are sleeping in dark room. And you're experiencing staying in the dark room, sleep in the dark room, where there's no light at all. And you are experiencing what? Bright sunny day. So what is real there? So the bright light is of inferior order of reality because it is subjective reality. It is real only for you. But darkness is vyavaharika satyam, objective reality. For everybody there is darkness. Darkness is vyavaharika satyam, objective reality. And light, brightness is what? Subjective reality, pratibhasikam satyam. So subjective reality is of inferior order of reality. Objective reality is relatively what? Superior order of reality. Therefore, they can coexist. Is it clear? If both are right, suppose we say, the darkness also is objectively real. Light also is objectively, sunlight also objectively real. Can they coexist? No. If sunlight also is real, sunlight and darkness, if both are of the same, you know, of orders of reality, can they coexist? No. But because light is of the, because light happens to be the dream light, it is of the inferior order of reality, because it is a pratibhasikam satyam, subjective reality. It is real only for the person who is in dream. Whereas darkness everywhere is real for all the other people, which is objective reality, vyavaharikam satyam. Therefore, this darkness is of superior order of reality. The light is of the inferior order of reality. Therefore, it is possible for both, you know, things are opposed to each other to coexist. Is it clear? Similarly, Brahman is of the order of higher, superior order of reality. Brahman is of the superior order of reality. All the attributes are of inferior order of reality. Therefore, they can coexist. That does not mean Brahman has attributes. For attributelessness is not an attribute. So I have given you some understanding. I have not done the actual clear teaching. I am only preparing you for the teaching. I have given some clues for you today. The whole time has taken only for giving you the clues, understanding. The actual teaching, we will go back to the verses and do the thing. These are things next class. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.